Through the years, from time to time, people have asked me, why does our Catholic Church make New Year's Day a holy day? After all, it's a civic holiday, and I've had a couple people come to this feast. And I know some have said that because they've said things like, yeah, you know, we party at night, and it's appropriate that the church in her wisdom through the recent centuries have spoken of this and made it a holy day. Reminding us, if we think about it, that this is kind of the season in which, in some way, looking back over the previous year and looking ahead to the new year and having that kind of reflection. Knowing us when we gather, our reflection can even be richer and deeper if we come at it from a faith perspective. Okay, Lord, looking back at 2022, what was going on? And Lord, how were you speaking in my life? How maybe as I look back, might I see a situation that I didn't recognize you there because I was oblivious or caught up, and now looking back, I see. Or looking ahead, as I look ahead, that we don't only look ahead at, well, what's going to happen this year, and is it going to be awful or whatever? I mean, well, we certainly look ahead, but also, Lord, help me in whatever happens. Hey, you're present in all of that. Not that you cause bad things to happen, but you can bring good even out of them. Help me to remember. And the reality is, our faith would call us that every day is meant to be the Lord's day. Not only Sunday, not only a special day, that if we had that awareness, Lord, it's your day, how do I recognize you? How do I cooperate with you? And find that greater meaning and purpose in doing that. Certainly, as we look, we see the example on this day of our Blessed Mother in the Scriptures that also can help us look at her and be inspired by her and what she can guide us in. So, we see in the gospel today, you know, we all know the scene in the manger, and we know the angels, shepherds, and it was a busy, chaotic kind of situation, too, and not really as calm and as clear as we might see in a manger scene. She looked at all of this, and she reflected on everything going on, openly prayerful to God, reflecting with her heart. That's also a key point. You know, we can tend to over-intellectualize our faith. There's a place for that. We want to know doctrines, teachings, and so forth. They're helpful. But our faith is, first of all, a matter of the heart. And saying that, I want to remember Benedict XVI, who just died a couple days ago, who was Pope for 8 years. And Benedict was a highly intellectual person. He's written many books. He's written documents when he was a pope, particularly three he wrote, one on faith, a second on hope, and a third one on love. And in those documents, I know some people say, he's very intellectual. Some people have told me, well, you know, I think you need a Catholic dictionary for some of the words. But again, his point was, there's a place for that understanding. At the same time, if our faith is reduced to intellectual belief in doctrines and just some sort of getting a good grade on a religion test, we know it's missing something. Pope Benedict did make this point. He said, our belief is not first of all in an idea. It's not first of all in a philosophy. It's not first of all in a doctrine. Our belief is first of all in a person, Jesus Christ, who came, the Father sending him, to show us his love that would make a difference in us and through us for the sake of the world. So understanding that, how do we deepen in that? One example I thought of, you know, it's kind of out there, was, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, how many of you watch Christmas Hallmark movies? But I know that in watching them, I've seen a couple here and there, and you know, often they end up with the couple finally coming together, giving a big kiss, and oh, isn't that sweet? Well, I got to tell you, is Jeffrey here? Where are you, Jeffrey? You're over. I never know where you are. That's Jeffrey over there. Anyway, you know, he's the seminarian intern. Anyway, he caught me a few days ago. It was the end of a movie, and I was tearing up, and he had to show up and make fun of me. You know, you probably don't remember this line. Some of you do. There's no crying in baseball. Well, hey, There can be being touched by the heart by watching a film. But I thought of that. Many people say how much they love those films and other stories and movies that kind of have a happy, wonderful ending grounded in love and goodness. Well, think about that. The greatest story of all is the story of Jesus Christ coming to our life and sharing his life and giving his all, and Mary and trusting him and watching him and loving him from the cradle to the cross. Wow, what a story. Probably at times it would be good to reflect and come to the point of tears. I mean, it's wonderful to see two human beings in a movie, but if we realize God's covenant love is personal and it's for every one of us. And at times, maybe just a step back and even have a tear or two for, Lord, that you have loved me this much. And that, Lord, you have given human beings the capacity to love, and we're able to do that. What a gift. And in saying that, then we can also look at another aspect of Mary in that gospel. In addition to praying and reflecting with her heart, she was open from the very beginning when Gabriel announced her to have the baby. She was open to where the Lord wanted to take her, how the Lord wanted to use her. And she already could have complained, you know, because the conditions of birth weren't that great and other things going on. And we know in her future life, she would run into circumstances. When Jesus finally started his ministry, he was rejected by a lot of the family that Mary was a part of in Nazareth. And eventually, she was there at the foot of the cross. And the point being, for Mary, she could have been negative. She could have been, I don't know if I believe in you. Look how this is all turning out. But she came in all of her life and all of those circumstances. Okay, God, somehow you're here. Somehow you're working. Somehow whatever's happening here again, you may not cause the rough stuff, but I can believe you can bring good. I'm going to trust you and believe in that good. And so for Mary, somebody who could have gone through her life with a lot of self-pity and resentment, legitimately, she went through life with faith, hope, and love, making all the difference, reminding us that what really matters in any year, in any day, is not how it goes out there. Yeah, that's important, but it's who we are in here, how we see it, and how we respond to it. I want to use one example, because a lot of times we say, well, Mary, in those days, how can you have that kind of faith today? Probably all of us know people who have shown us that kind of faith, and who have inspired us and reminded us that we in our own day can have a deeper relationship and encounter with the Lord who loves us. This is a story, I probably shared it a while back, but my first parish, St. Barnabas, there was a couple there. They were very involved in our youth ministry program. Wonderful couple, very close, great working with the teenagers. Well, what ended up happening, the wife ended up getting MS, multiple sclerosis. Obviously a devastating blow for a couple fairly young. And I know they struggled. But I know also noticing her with all that was going on, she had a certain serenity, a certain peace, partially because she was, like Mary, a deeply prayerful person, letting the Lord touch her and speak to her through this circumstance. But on the other hand, her husband was really pretty devastated by this and struggling a lot. And what ended up happening after a fairly short period of time, he left her. He left her basically saying, I can't deal with this. I can't be a caretaker. This is too much for me to watch. And so he left. And what was incredible is this woman, that when he left, she again didn't get down and out. She again didn't say, how can he do this to me? I remember we talked, we prayed together. She said, I'm praying for my husband. I'm praying that somehow, some way, he can know God's love and God's peace. And again, her too, she could have been resentful, but she was forgiving and loving because of who she was from in here. And I know that inspired me. And eventually, as this story ended in a good way, if you will, that after about 6 months or so, he came back. He came back and joined her again. And I remember us, the three of us, praying together. And him, very apologetic and really kind of amazed that his wife had already forgiven him before he asked her to. And touched by that in a positive way. And one of the other things I said, I remember talking to him, well, what kind of got you back? And what he said was, took him time getting out of himself, is that he said, I remember back to my wedding vows. And then I said to my wife, I take you in good times and in bad. I take you in sickness and in health. He remembered those vows. He saw them as sacred. He saw how beautifully his wife lived them. That touched and inspired him to come back, and actually over time to have an even deeper faith. I know she was able to live many more. They were able to live together in love through all of that. But what a difference that made, because that woman centered in faith, able to live that and show that to her husband. So for every one of us, as we look into this new year, we too can look, okay, God, let me be open, because who knows what's all going to go on. But let me be open and somehow see your presence in it all. Again, clearly, not necessarily doing it, but clearly present as a source of inner peace, strength, hope, and joy, those Christmas virtues that we can have because we're centered in you, not just what goes on out there. So we take a moment, every one of us, approaching this new year, an opportunity to be open to God's blessing through it all. One day at a time, sometimes one relationship at a time, one moment at a time, that we are open and receive and pass on those great gifts of faith, hope, and love.